Today, Chuck Swindoll offers biblical wisdom from moms and dads.
No rebel should be allowed to ruin a home. If the rebellion necessitates a separation, go there. Don't let your emotions dictate the direction of your life or your decisions. Think clearly. Think objectively. Remember the others in the home. And don't dare lower your standard.
When you brought your newborn baby home from the hospital and placed him in the crib, you likely had no idea how much your child would teach you through the years. You never imagined the trauma he would bring when the sweet innocence of infancy vanished and the obstinate rebellion of his teenage years emerged. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll retells the familiar story of the prodigal in a way you've likely never heard before. We're jumping right back into our study of Luke 15 and the message titled, When the Fun Stops for Parents.
So he goes to a distant country, and there, Jesus says, he squandered his estate with loose living. And he realizes for the first time that proverb his father quoted to him is true. The way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 13:15 and 13:18, poverty and shame will come to him who lacks discipline. All of that comes home to roost. If you've ever been there, you don't need any further explanation. Not only does he have the presence of those proverbs in his mind, he's now facing the absence of the one who had meant the most to him in his life, his father. The absence of his father is almost more than he can bear. There's an eloquent statement right here in this story. At the end of verse 14, he began to be impoverished. The Greek word means to be completely deficient, to lack, to come short of. And what made matters worse, he had no one to blame but himself. Where did that money go? That sounds like that proverb my dad used to quote to me. Riches make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Where'd all those dollars go? Where'd all those shekels go? And I'm hungry tonight. The story unfolds in such a way that we are intrigued. He went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed swine. And here he is in this pigsty, and every night going to bed hungry. And suddenly, listen to it, a light goes on. We read of it in verse 17. He came to his senses. How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, and I'm dying here with hunger? He's remembering back. He remembers how much food was even left on the table after the meals. He remembers that the hired servants got more than he will ever get living where he's living. And the memory of all of that falls in on him, and he says, I am dying with hunger, dying with it. He is in dire straits. And now that he's come back to his senses, verse 18, I will get up and go to my father and I will, wait, look at that. Look at that. He knows his dad. He knows his dad loves him. That love never stops, by the way. It goes on and on, even when it is spurned. Who knows how many restless nights the dad spent praying himself through the wee hours of the morning? Who knows how often he went out early in the morning in the mist of dawn and looked out from the porch at that horizon to see if there might be his boy? There are not words to describe the heartache and the tension between the love of a father and the better judgment of this wise man. So the boy says, I'll get up and go to my father. And so he practices his speech. This is what I'm going to say. Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in your sight I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. There's shame and guilt dripping from that statement. I am so unworthy. I'm so undeserving. You don't even owe me a roof over my head. But if you will, please grant me a place back in the shed where the hired servants are. Just that. So much better than this. That's what I'll do. Verse 20. When he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion. Look at the first response. Rather than, well, I'm going to show that whippersnapper. I'm going to put him in a corner for the next 3 years. He's going to be on probation for at least 6 months before he gets any food from my table. No, 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 no. There's grace in this story. There's no six-month probation. And if you keep behaving yourself, I might give you a ring. There's no big, long lecture on how ashamed he ought to be of himself. The boy's got enough shame to last the rest of his lifetime. Please, dads, please, if there's been repentance, save your sermons. There's no back room to stay in the barn with the hired men. Now, you go back to your room. We've got it all ready for you. Wouldn't hurt you to take a shower, but once you've done that, it'd be great. The father felt compassion for him, and he ran and embraced him. The Greek says he kissed him repeatedly. That's the best one I know to translate it. He kissed him on his neck, kissed him on the cheek, kissed him on his forehead, and his son is trying to get his speech out. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against his sight, and no longer worthy to be called your son. Dad, dad. And look at the father. He doesn't listen to that nonsensical statement. That shame-based, guilt-ridden declaration. Don't let those words come out of your mouth, son. You're back. And the father, look at this, said to his slaves, quickly, look, there's no probation. Quickly, get a robe. Take those filthy clothes off, son. Get a robe, which was a sign of honor. Put him in one of our family robes and put a ring on his finger. The robe brought him honor and the ring brought him independence. Think of a credit card. I know it's not quite as romantic, but the ring is like, this is what I'll use to make purchases. And the stamping of the ring would make that happen. Put a ring back on his finger. He's in this family. And put sandals on his feet, of course. You know why? Because he's lived like a slave. Remember the song from the Civil War? Which ends with an all God's chillin' got shoes. They lived for the day that they would be in glory. And finally, though barefoot on earth as a slave, they would have shoes in heaven. Put sandals on his feet. Why? Oh, I left out Bruno. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let's eat. Have one of those Texas barbecue, or something like that, here in verse 23. We got a lot of food to eat. Kill that fatted calf. I've been packing food into him all this time. Bring him up and butcher him. Why? Because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. How good is that? He's home. Greatest song in Les Miserables, if you've ever seen the marvelous writing of Victor Hugo done in music, is bring him home. Just bring him home. And that's exactly what God had done for this boy. He brought him to his senses, and then he brought him home. And now the father says, oh, my son. You were lost, but you've been found. You were gone, but you're back. They began to celebrate. Now, the story goes on to tell about a legalistic brother, but I won't get into that, since that's what all the rest of us are, and that's another sermon. I'll just stop with the celebration. Well, I won't stop there. I'll just turn it to the rebel in your family. What's a dad to do? What's a mom to do? I know it is one thing to stand here and talk about it, and you may think it's all theoretical. Don't. I've been there. I want to tell you, it was the longest number of months in Cynthia's in my life, as we thought we would die. I lived on a reclining chair and she lived on a sofa. We could hardly eat. We could hardly move. We were paralyzed by grief till I heard a phone call that said on the other end of the line, "Hi, Dad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry." So what do? You're at the crossroads where you hear about it, but you know, if I do that, who knows where my daughter's going to wind up. Don't go there. Here are four simple things to remember, four lessons we've learned, that will help you. Number one, no rebel should be allowed to ruin a home. No rebel should be allowed to ruin a home. You leave a rebel in the home, you will disrupt the home and you may disease it. Furthermore, the other children will learn from the rebel and they'll learn how you treat the rebel, knowing they can do the same thing. Furthermore, if not that, they'll be neglected as you spend all of those wasted hours trying to reason with the unreasonable. No rebel should be allowed to ruin a home. Lesson number two, if the rebellion necessitates a separation, go there. If the rebellion necessitates a separation, go there. Don't let your emotions dictate the direction of your life or your decisions. Think clearly. Think objectively. Remember the others in the home. And don't dare lower your standard. It was the standard that caused the boy to have a conscience in the first place, or the daughter. Number three, very simple, let go. You don't see the father standing and clinging with his son as the boy walks out the door with his backpack. Let go. And when no one gives him anything, leave it alone. Let go. Let him starve. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? They may fail in school, let them fail. They may wind up in jail, let them wind up in jail. They may turn to a lifestyle that is absolutely frightening and degrading. Let them go there. The way of the transgressor is hard. Let them learn how hard. Let them go. One seasoned father writes, "There comes a point where our record as parents is in the books. Our training has been completed, and the moment of release has arrived. If our child runs, he runs. If he marries the wrong person, he marries the wrong person. If he takes drugs, he takes drugs. If he goes to the wrong school or rejects his faith or refuses to work or squanders his inheritance on liquor and prostitution, then he must be permitted to make these destructive choices. But it is not the task for us to pay his bills or ameliorate the consequences or support his folly." That is wisdom. Let him go. Now, the great fourth lesson. Thank the Lord, it's a part of the story. When repentance occurs, let grace abound. Let grace abound. Throw a party. Celebrate. Don't put them on probation for the next 6 to 8 months. Don't put big verses on plaques in the room. Talk about the stuff they should have done and didn't do and all the pain they put you through. Don't go there. Let grace abound. Forgive, love, I'll say more about forgiveness in the next message, by the way, which I think is the glue that holds a family together. But they return model grace. I close with a true story. I have a physician friend who lives in this state. Years ago, he was raising a family of boys. The brightest of the boys was the oldest. Not only good academically, he was a very gifted violinist. He earned a scholarship at an outstanding place to develop his art at a school on the West Coast. He was accepted, of course, and this affluent family had provided his every need, and he went with a pocket full of change and a new car and the blessing of his home and family. And while he was there, things began to change. It was in the 60s, and he picked up the message, question authority. So he supposed when he got back home, he would set the family straight and put his father in his place. No chance. What he didn't realize in the process is that he was dealing with a father who had more grit and determination than he had ever given him credit for. Calmly, firmly, and after much prayer, this father realized early on what was happening, and he stood his ground. By the way, there were already fistfights in the back room with his brothers. It was an ugly scene. Finally, as the boy was making all kinds of further demands and creating havoc, denying any wrongdoing, his father set him down for a talk. He used words like this: "Son, if you wish to live like this, that's your prerogative. You're old enough to choose the lifestyle you prefer, and yet you cannot do it under this roof. You're not welcome here, living like that. Your mother and I and your brothers along with us have concluded that we refuse to be intimidated any longer. If you wish to leave, that's fine, but you need to remember this. Everything you have, I bought, and therefore I own. I own that violin. Leave it there, right there on your bed. I own your car. Leave it in the garage. You'll be walking. I own your clothing." This is where it got interesting. "Leave your clothes in the closet when you walk out. Don't take a thing with you. I own everything that's on you, including your money, so empty your pockets on the table before you leave. Everything in your wallet, everything in your pocket, all the credit cards. I will let you keep the clothes on your back and the shoes on your feet. There's the door. Leave if you choose. We hope you won't. But if you choose, leave now." It's amazing what an education the young collegian got all of a sudden. His daddy said to me later, I remember he walked out the door and we're all in tears. He walked down the sidewalk and turned left and walked about 2 or 3 blocks down. It was getting dark and he stopped. I'm sure he thought, like, what an idiot I am. He turned around, he came back, walked up. His dad opened the door. And you know the rest of the story. Let's bow together. Perhaps you've wandered far, far away and you're the rebel. Perhaps you realize today that the God of grace will welcome you back. I urge you to come to him. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Trusting in his Son, he will welcome you back with open arms. There's a great old song that says, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word, Lord. I'm coming home. That may be you today, and if it is, I welcome you back. You'll be interested to know that while you were gone, nothing changed. Your Father is still holy, still sovereign, and still forgiving. You'll bear the scars of your waywardness for a long time, maybe the rest of your life, but you need to know you're welcome back home. Thank you, dear Father, for telling us the truth with the sober reminder that you mean business, that being in your family includes moments like this where we must learn again. You are the potter. We are the clay. You are the master. We are the servant. Give parents great courage this day, those who must respond in a difficult manner with tough love. And thank you for confronting it, even when it is difficult to hear. Thank you for parents who love us enough to administer, when necessary, tough love. And thank you for bringing us to our senses when we have played the fool. I pray for every heartbroken home today where the fun has stopped. I pray that you will bring encouragement and hope and perhaps increased determination as they wait and wait and wait. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, by your grace and mercy, I pray. Everyone said, Amen.
When Chuck Swindoll presented this sermon to his congregation, many families were touched at the deepest levels, knowing firsthand how painful it can be when a son or daughter strays far from home. We suspect the same is true today as we present this powerful message on Insight for Living. It's called When the Fun Stops for Parents. To learn more about Chuck Swindoll and the ministry of Insight for Living, visit us online at insightworld.org. Whatever you might be facing in your family today, we know the biblical teaching in this relevant study can help you. I'll remind you that Chuck has written a book called Parenting, From Surviving to Thriving. Whether you're dealing with a prodigal or you're trying to connect with your adult children, his book is filled with biblical wisdom. Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll are not only parents, but grandparents as well. And this book represents the culmination of their combined experience, plus Chuck's many years poring over the Bible. To purchase a copy, just go online to insight.org/offer. Again, it's called Parenting, From Surviving to Thriving. If you prefer, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. It goes without saying that our world has been fixated on the global pandemic, as we work and pray toward the common goal of defeating the coronavirus. This battle certainly deserves our complete attention. But even so, pressing family issues never disappear. And rearing a healthy family is an assignment that stops for nothing. For that reason, we'll be spending the next several weeks digging into this relevant topic with Chuck. As he continues to provide biblical teaching, we urge you to remain faithful in your financial support of Insight for Living as well.
The rhythm of my heart revolves around Sunday mornings. For my entire adult life, every day of my week points to the moment I step to the pulpit to deliver God's message. In fact, my heart beats faster just imagining it. I live with a joyful anticipation for the worship service every Sunday morning. Well, because God has wired me this way, breaking that lifelong rhythm of preaching every weekend has definitely cramped my style. Like you, this requirement for self-quarantine at home, while valid and necessary, has become extremely challenging. In my hours of reflection at home, I've been grateful that even while our churches are temporarily closed and empty, the Insight for Living program carries on without an interruption. Isn't that great? Every day, technology allows us to reach into hearts and homes, your heart, your home, without restriction. We have no barriers whatsoever. In fact, the experts are telling us that radio listening habits are on the rise. The reason is people are craving spiritual direction. The only barrier that stands in the way of our daily visits is the financial capacity to continue doing so. You see, our cost for sending out the daily program remains the same. Your voluntary gifts, therefore, have never been more needed than they are right now. Nothing has diminished our commitment to delivering Insight for Living messages. COVID-19 cannot and will not stand in our way. As people around the world stay inside their homes, worried about their jobs, their basic needs, their families, and even their own lives, we will keep right on teaching and reaching them with the hope of Jesus Christ and the practical help of His Word. So please, as God prompts you to give, respond to His leading. Just as you need us by your side each day, we also need you with us, your prayers, and your donations. Thanks for responding today.
All right, thanks, Chuck. To respond, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. You can also give online at insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll talks about resolving those parent-child conflicts, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, When the Fun Stops for Parents, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.